Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Lord, we thank you for these scriptures that have been given to us, and particularly through this lectionary reading this week. Open them up to us, Lord, and help us to understand what it is you have for us this particular day. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A lady goes to the vet with a duck, which she presents to the veterinary surgeon. Duck is very clearly dead. And after a cursory examination, the vet duly informs the lady that her duck has breathed its last. Outraged, the lady tells the vet he doesn't know what he's talking about and challenges him to prove that her duck is indeed dead. The vet sighs, but then he opens the back door of his surgery and ushers in a large black Labrador retriever dog who walks up to the examination table and puts his paws on the table and sniffs the duck from head to toe. And then the Labrador dog looks dolefully at the vet and slowly shakes his head and leaves the surgery. The vet then brings in a large tabby cat, which he places at the table beside the duck, and the kitty sniffs the duck from head to toe and looks up at the vet and shakes its head. And the vet removes the cat and then says to the lady, "There you are, I told you it was dead." Taps some keys on his computer and says, "That'll be $150, please." And the lady looks up shocked, $150 to tell me that this duck is dead? That's outrageous. "Well," said the vet, "if you'd only taken my word for it, it would have been like $20. But with that lab test and the CAT scan, it's $150. Now, that has nothing to do with my sermon. But I haven't started my sermon with a joke for some time, but I thought it would be an interesting little test. I've prepared a kind of a personal bet, if you like, to see if you forget everything else I say today, but remember the joke about the duck and the vet and the CAT scan. And that's not really the only purpose of that. Jesus tells parables to create the same effect. Jesus stands with his disciples or in front of the crowds and tells a story, a parable, an analogy to get their attention, that hopefully they'll remember that story and connect it to the truth that he's trying to tell them later on. So the point of telling these things sometimes on my part, and certainly modeling, if you like, after Jesus, is to get your attention and help you to remember and lock into something anyway. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied with a parable, if you like, with a story. "If you had faith the size of the mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree," which I'm sure he was standing right next to, "be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Increase our faith if you had faith the size. Both these statements sound maybe a little contradictory to what I was talking about in the last couple of weeks, where I was emphasizing that our faith is qualitative, not quantitative. When the disciples say, "Increase our faith," and that sounds like a quantitative, not a qualitative request. It sounds like they're asking for an amount of faith. And Jesus really does try to redirect them in his saying. I used to have a little sign sitting in my office back years ago that said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I know my father-in-law said he never really quite fully understood that. But it was all about quantity. It was not about quality. If you had the most games and the most gadgets and the most stuff, you won somehow. But we do struggle with that notion because we are collectors, all of us. We all joke around, especially those of us who are downsizing and whatnot, about living in a house for 30 or 40 years and then suddenly having to move to a much smaller location. We kid around a little bit about the challenge that's involved with doing that, because we suddenly start to realize all of the stuff that we've accumulated over the years. And there's lots of literature and conversation these days talking about how the kids and grandkids that want nothing to do with our stuff, because they're already living in a smaller place, many of them. They don't need more stuff on top of their stuff. And when you start to spend time and look at some of the, I'm using that word again, stuff that you've collected, it doesn't necessarily mean as much to the next group along. For instance, I've told this to some of you already. Years ago, a friend of mine who was always very sickly, and ultimately, as time went by, ended up getting cancer and passing away, when he was sort of in his therapy times, he made me a leather belt. And he did all the hammering to tool the leather and all that stuff for years that hung in my office in my house. Now, I don't think I could get that belt around my leg, let alone my waist anymore. But I hung it up there and Huey gave that to me. Huey gave that to me years ago. And I was thinking about it recently. It doesn't fit me. It never will fit me ever again. And my kids looking at that is just a leather belt hanging on the wall. Why? Is it the strap? I don't know what that's for. We sometimes accumulate these things and then there's nothing connected to them other than something personal. And I'm telling you all of this because Jesus is referencing something very special in this particular story that he's telling. Part of it has to do with the translations that we have when we say the size of your faith. I think the quote that I read there specifically, I'm going to scroll back to that so I can get it right. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed. What it really should say for us to get the grip of what he's trying to, or the point of what he's trying to make is, if you had faith like a mustard seed, not the size of a mustard seed. And it's always kind of bothered me because people have literally taken these words around this particular story that occurs in three different Gospels. Things like, the smallest seed you know. Well, it's not the smallest seed in the world. It's the smallest seed that he could think of in that particular case. But he's also not saying that you need a small or a great amount. He's talking about like a mustard seed. He happens to pick this because we know it's small. We can see that it's like a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed, I really wish I could grow something from a real mustard seed because I'd like us to see visually almost what this plant looks like. It's a small tree is what it grows into, the mustard plant. And we don't see that here because mustard's in a thing you take out of the jar. And if it's dry mustard, at best, it's the powder. So we don't really see where this comes from, like so many things in our lives this day. But it's a small tree. And as Jesus talks about this, in particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, he put another parable before them. This is Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. And remember, it's not the smallest in the world, it's just one of the smallest seeds. But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. It's that very tiny grain of sand, if you like, that turns into something great. He could have said an acorn turning into an oak tree, which is what we would think of here in North America. A little tiny oak acorn is an oak seed, and it grows into this gigantic, mighty tree that's spreading its arms way out. We build houses and boats and out of the stuff out of that wood. But it started out like this. It's not the size, it's like. So what are we talking about in this parable? What are we talking about that it's like? It changes so dramatically from something very, very small to something very, very big, from something very, very not powerful, if you like, to something very powerful. That faith is not, again, it is not the size, it is not the quantity, it's the quality. This little tiny seed has the quality and the potential to turn into something birds make their nests in, as Jesus puts it. And we use the oak tree that we build ships out of and sail around the world safely. We used to build airplanes out of it and flew in the sky. It's amazing the potential that's in there. But Jesus is trying to make a point as well with the disciples that if you don't fulfill that potential in your faith, you become stagnant. And it's so easy, for me especially, because I'm a plant killer. I've got a plant in my apartment at the moment that I've had since I was in seminary. It's called George. I'm on George the Third now because I'm taking snippets of George and rerouting them because George the First and Second died. Thankfully, I took a snipping and I still got, so he's still George-ish. But I can take a seed and I could kill it because I didn't let that seed live up to its potential. I didn't give it the watering it needed in the air and the light and all that stuff because I'm very good at that, unfortunately. But the potential's still there. Jesus is challenging these disciples when they say, increase our faith. Your faith has become stagnant. The potential in your faith, you've let it wither. If you had faith like a little tiny mustard seed, you could do this marvelous thing. Because another great thing that we can see here in Canada, in particular in northern Ontario specifically, if you look at some of these little pine trees that grow on the sides of rock, granite, and only roots are all over like this, a little tiny seed for that. What an analogy of faith that is. A little tiny seed for a pine tree grew this gigantic tree that's clinging to the side of a rock, or in some cases, split the rock open. That's the potential that Jesus is referring to when he talks to the disciples. And it's interesting how, for me today, that the Revised Common Lectionary decided to pick Psalm 137 in its reading from Lamentations and clipped it together with this article about faith and referencing Timothy's faith too. It's a condition, I believe, that the church in general, and it's great for today because it's World Communion Church, or World Communion Church-wide. And the church is struggling and has been for decades now. And every day, I'm hearing from correspondents about another minister that's left the ministry. Another young minister, in some cases, that's left the ministry. Another church that's closed. Another church that has amalgamated and closed. Another church that has done something to revitalize themselves and ended up closing. What's the conversation that we often hear? It sounds like Lamentations from the church in general today. We remember the days when we sat in Judah, when things were wonderful. I remember talking to a minister just not too long ago, talking about when he's now retired. But he remembered when he was a member of the church, thinking about going into ministry. He told me that in this big church in Toronto where he was worshiping, really big church, that on Sunday morning, baptisms were taking place, and they were lined up down the center aisle and around the corner, and there was nowhere to sit. Those were such great days. Sounds just like Lamentations. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat, and here's Babylon, by the way, and we wept as we remembered those wonderful days. If only we could get back to having them lined up down the aisles and around the corner, nowhere to sit on a Sunday morning. See, what we're missing, and Jesus would tell a parable about this, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree, move, and it would. He's not talking about the specifics. He's talking about the quality of their faith. He's not talking about, boy, if we only got it together a certain way, we would see, because you're measuring by the wrong stick by doing that. Have the faith like a mustard seed, that potential that's in that grain, that tiny seed, to grow a huge tree that birds can nest in. Be like that pine tree, to put it in a Canadian perspective, that can cling to the side of a rock and split the rock open over time. What potential of faith that is. And it's that level of faith that we should be thinking about back in those days, because there's nothing wrong with thinking about those days back before Babylon. They were great days. There was something wonderful and marvelous in the days that have gone by. And we have lots of great stories about those days because there was something wonderful that we were feeling in our faith. And that's the part that we miss. You see, getting, pardon the phrase, bums in the pews is not the solution to saving the church today. But increasing our faith, the potential that we have in our faith, the quality of our faith. Because think about this. I mean, really think about this for a moment. 12 men, changed the entire course of history in the Western culture. 12. There's only 12 of them. It wasn't thousands. It wasn't millions. It was 12 got something wonderful started because of the quality of their faith. So the head count is nice, but missing the point. The quality of our faith, the quality of the faith of the individual congregations that live in the city of Burlington, and live in Ontario and live in Canada and live around the globe, today being World Communion Sunday, is what makes the difference. The quality of the faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord is what will move mountains. And that's what Jesus is referring to in this particular story. The last thing I want to comment on this, Jesus doesn't compare the kingdom of God to the tallest and strongest trees. He could have picked the mighty cedar of Lebanon, because its seeds are not very big either. Jesus likens the kingdom of God and our faith, the church, to something that sprouts up quite quickly from almost nothing and develops into an ungainly, spindly shrub. And that's what I'd love to have one in my hands, so you could see what a mustard seed grows into. It's not a mighty oak. It's this wonky-looking, bushy tree that grows up. Yeah, birds can put their nests in it, but it doesn't look very great. It's all over the place when it grows. And we should be able to, as a church, take comfort from these very words of Jesus in this particular example that he gives. Because like the mustard plant, a church can be an untidy, sprawling shrub. But Jesus is saying something quite profound about the church when he uses that particular analogy. It will be a bit messy and jumbled, but in the mess is real life and potential power in what can change the world. And perhaps it isn't easy to find your place necessarily in neat and tidy systems, but in Jesus' church, it is a bit messy and tangled, but there's place in there for everybody. We don't need to be absolutely a perfect, you know, straight trunk growing with wonderful branches majestically this way. We can be a mustard seed tree, which is all twisty and garbled. That's okay, because that potential of faith in Jesus is what's making the difference, making that tree grow, and that's for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, there's lots of truth in this one short little analogy that Jesus gives. And yes, Lord, we do lament the days that once were. And we really want that again in so many ways. But it's not the particulars. It's not the things. It's that sense of community and that sense of life and that sense of living faith. So we do pray for that for the church today, this World Communion Day. And pray, Lord, that we can all of us understand our faith to be like that of the mustard seed. It's not its size, it's not its quantity, it's the quality and potential that's in there. And it's a faith that's a gift from you that sparks new life and new growth in a powerful and mighty way. Trees don't grow overnight. They take time and they take a lot of work, and our faith requires the same. Thank you, Lord, for this. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God does bless us with so much, and this is our time to give some of that back. This is the time for our tithes and offerings and our gifts to God.